This is Leafs Nation postgame.
Let's go!
Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today. Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave. But we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
It is sped out and just out of the reach of Kucherov, who was coming out of the penalty box. Now Anderson gives it away. Kucherov scores! Anderson gave it away. Stamkos grabbed it. And the Tampa Bay Lightning are making a mess of this one.
And Freddie Anderson's night is done.
Well, Steven Stamkos, the captain of the Tampa Bay Lightning, called his team out after the ugly performance against Carolina on Sunday, and they responded in a big-time way. 7-3 the final here at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto for the visiting Tampa Bay Lightning, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Leafs Nation postgame is underway right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. It's Nick Alberga joined alongside Gord Stellick, and it's a somber mood around here and around the press box, and a tough night overall for the Maple Leafs.
Well, it's actually no mood. Everyone's gone. We sort of call this the walk to the subway. Well, everyone caught the subway early. This you couldn't do a fire drill better in Scotiabank Arena than tonight. And, yeah, just different components. I'll be interested to hear what Mike Babcock has to say in a few minutes' time. But, man, so much expectation about this game, Nick. And after the first period when the Leafs were down 4-3, we kind of cut slack. That had been an exciting end-to-end game. Second intermission, mentioned just, you know, Freddie Anderson, like on the first goal, he looked like he was at a Halloween party bobbing for apples, and we're a few weeks early for that. And the second period, we kind of just said, hey, he hasn't come up with a big save, where Vasilevsky has had the odd one. Nick, they embarrassed him in the third period. That's, yes, that's not good. If you're talking about winning a Stanley Cup, the Tampa Bay Lightning embarrassed them. They took them out the old-fashioned to the woodshed in the third period. You should not let that happen on home ice. And, you know, just things like if there's questions about the D collapsing too much and not being strong enough there, if there's a question not being a physical enough team, maybe being too soft, they looked it. They looked it in the latter part of this game, and that's not very good.
Look, truthfully, part of our job is to be blunt and harsh, and we will tonight, because that third period, you were so bang on. It seemed like a defeated team to me, which was surprising, because it was still a close hockey game. I mean, we get the goal in the second period, you get to the third period, and then Tampa just absolutely poured it on. And they were bad goals at that. It was just more the way those goals were scored that left me wanting a bit more from this team.
Well, exactly. I mean, these were like end-to-end shinny-type rushes.
Yes.
And then the Leafs tried to replicate it, like, say, Morgan Riley in particular, Mitch Marner trying to do it themselves. That's not unnatural. That's kind of what happens on the other side. But they weren't successful, because you can't really be successful doing yourself. But the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, you mentioned the first period, Kevin Shattenkirk went through the Leaf team like he was Scott Stevens' size, and, you know, and just saying, well, say what? And he went through them all and scored on Freddie Anderson, and that was kind of symbolic of the kind of game. You know, take Tampa Bay Lightning. Wow, look at the big guns, the points they get. Oh. Braden Point is first game back. I mean, you're talking about 11 points divided among three players. Point had 2 goals, 1 assist. Kucherov, 2 goals, 2 assists. And Steven Stamkos with a big Toronto area throng here, like always, 1 goal and 3 assists.
They made, just simply put, life way too easy for the big boys of the Tampa Bay Lightning and everybody in general. The Shattenkirk goal, I'm still mystified. Kevin Shattenkirk, not known as a physical presence throughout this league, and was able to walk entirely through this Leafs team and then beat Frederick Anderson. So certainly a lot of video to pull from this one, I think, if you're Mike Babcock. But that's the most disappointing thing to me, is their big boys outplayed the big boys of the Maple Leafs. And I think that's a dig at, you know, the players that we consider some of the top in the world and certainly the top on this Maple Leafs team, that they were bettered by, you know, the opposition's big boys.
Well, that's right. Yeah, the big guns. So in the first period, I mean, here we're talking about John Tavares with maybe as good a shift in getting a goal as a Leaf this year. Another nice Austin Matthews goal. So, I mean, things were going that way. But I start to think, Nick, Game 6 against Boston last year, Leafs get some penalties. Now, Christian Gisselin, Herbert, and Mark Jonette, chintzy penalties. They had a bad game. They had a real bad game. Chintzy penalties, okay? But at that point, you got to be able to kill them. And that's what happened against Boston last year. Remember Game 6?
Yeah.
Leafs were, you know, Bruins were 2-for-2 on the power play. And basically, that's what did the Leafs in the first period. Any kind of momentum they had that they gave up power play goals. So it's one thing if the penalties are chintzy, you know, that's a constructive criticism, but you still got to kill them off or do your best. And they were getting killed. Mitch Marner got killed on the faceoff beat. Same thing. Next one, like, just, you know, it's like they hadn't practiced penalty killing. And I know they do, but it looked like they hadn't. And at that point, it's like the Tampa Bay Lightning smelt blood.
That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberger. This is Leafs Nation postgame. A 7-3 win for the visitors, the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's back-to-back regulation losses now for the Maple Leafs, three in a row. They're winless in three games, rather, I should say. But I think up and down this roster, every guy needs to be better, and it spearheads from the goaltender. Again, we're not pinning this blame and why they surrendered seven goals on Frederik Andersen. I think, quite frankly, a lot of these goals, Toronto held their netminder out to dry, a lot of one-timers. Tampa was surgical on the power play. I think you're totally right. And that's always a game plan when you play upper echelon teams in the league. You can't put them on the power play as routinely as they did, especially in the first period. They're going to burn you. But it was a rough night overall, as we saw as well in the third period for Frederik Andersen.
Yeah, and the other part, and, you know, this doesn't make sense category. So, you know, plus-minus is just a very subjective stat. But this is the thing. When Tampa Bay runs up the score, you get those minuses that you hate getting because they take pride in their play. But so Tyson Barrie was a -4. Justin Hall was a +2. Like, wow. You know, it's kind of like last year, Ron Hainsey. Maybe when you wear number, of course, he wears number 3, but when you Ron Hainsey, a low number like that, the lowest number on the team, you know, whatever. He was leading the league in plus minus for a big chunk of the season. So I didn't think, like, Tyson Barrie played that much worse than Justin Hall, like a swing of 6 in your plus minus. But those are two things that stand out. You know what else jumps out? Austin Matthews, 6 shots on net. And again, early on, third period, you know, forget it. Like I said, it's an embarrassment for all 20 guys on the Maple Leaf team about the lack of give and lack of showing up in that period. Particularly, man, this was a tough ticket. This was a tough ticket tonight. This was a really, really highly anticipated game, as it should be. But, boy, Austin Matthews has really, really been a force. If you're looking for a little bit of a positive.
Oh, I want positivity, and I think you're totally right. Like, Austin Matthews has lived up to the expectations so far. But my opinion, I can't say the same about some other players. And it is the unfortunate part of not only playing in this market but making the money you do. You just need more. You know, Morgan Rielly the last couple games has not been that great. Tyson Barrie. John Tavares, I think I would argue one of his better games tonight, but that top line in general is still in flux, if you ask me. I didn't think Willie Nylander was that strong in this game, but certainly I think when you look at it, and we'll hear from Mike Babcock at the podium coming up, it's a collective thing, right? It's a team thing, and that's the way they have to tackle this thing. They can't pin this on certain people. Here's Mike Babcock.
Back to work tomorrow. What do you take from tonight? Maybe the other two games that you want to work on and obviously get better.
Well, tonight was disappointing. I mean, it wasn't like any of the other games we've been in, obviously. I mean, there were 7 goals in the first period. I actually thought in the second we got her going but never got on the inside. They scored late, and then we had no answer whatsoever. Any way you look at it, even going in the third, you can still leave the building feeling good. If you perform right in the third, we didn't. So we didn't execute it at a high enough level. Didn't play right. They were better than us. They won all the 50-50s, all the loose puck battles. We took 3 penalties in the first. I thought got us out of sync. You know, it wasn't a very good night for us. I thought it was going to be a hell of a game. I didn't think it was.
Any particular reasons why, beyond getting out of sync with the power play, what were the penalty kills that your guys
were? Well, I just thought in the first period we had, you know, some guys got cold, some guys got, we couldn't play them because we turned the puck over 2 times on the penalty kill. The guys that were on ended up staying out there for 1:30, a long time. We just, for whatever reason, we weren't good. Now, I think you got to give them a lot of credit. They were fast. They were on the puck. They were tenacious. They did it right. And they won. They stripped us from behind. They won 50-50 battles all over the rink, I thought. Even when we had the puck, suddenly they had the puck. So in the end, it wasn't good enough for us. That's the bottom line, wasn't good enough.
Is that the most discouraging part, Mike, the 50-50 battles, that sort of thing?
Well, obviously, you know, if you look at what's gone on so far this year, I've liked the majority of everything that's gone on. I didn't like tonight. So, I mean, you don't have to be a coach. You can just be a fan. You can be anybody. You know whether you want enough 50-50s to give yourself a chance. We didn't do that tonight. So, in the end, we didn't look like a very good hockey club. And they look quicker, better, more organized. You can say whatever you want, more skilled, whatever you want. We didn't give ourselves a chance.
Final,
on the first goal, or the power play goal that Kucherov scored off the last faceoff. Was there a problem with that faceoff?
Well, it was a problem for me, just the fact that we had Mitch take it, and we didn't do what we were supposed to do. You know, we had, you know, we've seen it before. Like, just we didn't do what we were supposed to do. So anyway, you look at it, when you get it organized, that's on you as the coach. We got it organized. We talked about it, but we didn't do it. So that's on us.
Three losses in a row, concern?
Well, I think anytime you lose, it's a concern. You know, and that's what I said to you. I really thought last game was our best game. We lost it. So in the end, you're in a points business. You got to get points. So we got to clean this up and get back at her. We play Detroit on, is it Thursday? It's Saturday. See you guys.
Pretty much as real as they come right there. Mike Babcock, the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, thought was rather fair in his analysis of the 7-3 loss scored.
Yeah, and also going back to the first period, it's what we talked about. They got out of sync, and again, I compare it to a 1-0 lead over the Boston Bruins, Game 6. So not only was it the Bruins then scoring on power play opportunities like Tampa Bay did, but there was that Zach Hyman faceoff that seemed weird. Why was he out there, especially with a bum knee at that point? And I've got to talk. Chris Johnson asked the question about the faceoff. Mitch Marner was ticked about, and I think the Tampa Bay player should have been thrown out there. But as Mike Babcock says, whoever's if it's Mitch Marner taking the faceoff or Gord Stellick taking the faceoff, everybody else has to do what they're supposed to do, and they just didn't. And it just seemed to be, yeah, they got off track, out of sync again, like Game 6 against Boston, and never got going again.
It seems like every time that happens, for some reason, it spirals out of control. So I forward this question to you. How do you, you know, I guess practicing is the best way to prepare yourself for a situation like that. It's like, you know, when you play sports growing up, you bear down a bit too hard and you can't get over that hump. But you wonder and you ask that question internally, how do they get over that? How do they finally make that right play? How do you muscle through something a la a team that's won the Stanley Cup the last couple of years?
Well, this is where you really need a big save and didn't get it tonight. And Freddie, more often than not, does give you a big save. And after that, it's you know, I kind of kidded. One of the keys to victory was start on time. This time it was finish on time. You know, actually, the game went pretty quick, so finish quick. But, I mean, just like that third period against the Montreal Canadiens was their worst period till their third period tonight. You know, so you got to, you know, he's right about the second period that I still thought at that point they were trying to make a game of it. But the third just dissipated so badly, it's kind of what you remember as you walk out of the building.
That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation post game, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. We bring in now from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night of Canada, it is Chris Johnston. Chris, what's the most mystifying thing that you take away from this one tonight?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, maybe just how sloppy the Leafs were, you know, taking penalties. They had some penalty kill issues in the first. Didn't really have a big push, even only down 5-3 going into the third. You know, I thought that there's an opportunity in that game with you know, obviously the skill the Leafs have to climb back into it, but they just didn't have a lot of juice tonight. And so I think that the most mystifying part is that in such a big game and after, you know, what I thought was a really good effort against St. Louis earlier this week, that they didn't have more going on, but it is still early days in the season, and I don't want to draw too many negative conclusions from it because obviously teams have off nights, and this was one for the Leafs.
You know, when I heard you ask the question, Mike Babcock, about the faceoff, I was just saying in chatting with Nick here, Chris, that elements of it reminded me of that Game 6 where they missed the opportunity to eliminate the Boston Bruins. They had a 1-0 lead. They took some penalties. I think one was on the chintzy side like the ones were tonight, but regardless, you got to kill them off. And instead, Boston capitalized on the power play just like Tampa Bay did. There was that Zach Hyman faceoff that had an issue, the Mitch Marner faceoff, just same thing. I mean, if you're going to learn from something, I thought there were too many similarities, and then the game, momentum-wise, like Babcock said, they never got it back. But Marner was ticked off about the faceoff. I mean, would you think it was he thought the Tampa Bay player should have been thrown out?
It must have been. You know, I didn't get a chance to talk to Mitch post-game, and that's kind of what I was asking, you know, Mike. Mike ended up, you know, mentioning just that was a play that they knew the Lightning, you know, execute on the power play, and that obviously they didn't react very well to the face-off loss and get out and you know, keep Kucherov from getting that good of a shot with that open of a look on it. But, you know, it did seem with the way Marner was talking to the referee or the linesman after the goal went in that he didn't like the way the face-off went down. I think probably in hindsight, they wouldn't have Marner take that draw. You know, it was sloppy all around. I think you know, the other thing that stands out to me is just, you know, letting the guys that beat them, beat them. I mean, obviously, Kucherov had 130 points for a reason last year. We know it was Stamkos and then Braden Point, but, you know, the Leafs didn't have much of an answer for those guys. And you know, a key part of any game planning you do when you're going against a team like this is trying to find a way to neutralize that line, and I just didn't think the Leafs did enough to keep them from being a factor.
Chatting with Chris Johnson, Tampa 7, Toronto 3 here at Scotiabank Arena. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you on Leafs Nation postgame. And you're exactly right, CJ, because I think this is a big-time thing on the big guys of the Maple Leafs, the fact that they were dummied by the big guys of the Tampa Bay Lightning and have to take that sort of to heart, don't they?
For sure. You know, and you know, it's been funny the way the season started. Like, the Leafs haven't done a ton of line matching in the first few games. They did a little bit against St. Louis, but I think we could have a debate about whether the Braden Chen line or Ryan O'Reilly line, what's the, you know, the most dangerous or the number one line, quote unquote. You know, the way Tampa was set up tonight, I mean, it's clear that whoever was getting that matchup with Point was in a, you know, in that kind of situation, and it ended up being the Tavares line. And, you know, he did get an even strength goal, John, earlier in the game. But, you know, I think it was a tough night for them in that position. So, you know, I think that they have to wear that one a little bit. You know, certainly Tavares was pretty clear in speaking with us after the game about his disappointment, how unacceptable he thought the effort was defensively from the Leafs. And, you know, I guess they'll get back to work tomorrow and you know, try to be a little bit better against Detroit, who actually had a decent start to the year, despite not having many expectations. And, you know, obviously the Leafs had a pretty tough schedule to start the year. This was their fifth game in 8 days. You know, they played the Stanley Cup champions this week, now the President's Trophy champions. You know, and if anything, I think we've learned that they need to get to a higher level.
Now, we did a Sportsnet Grill appearance with a bunch of diehard hockey fans, and just about getting picky, you know, about this Leaf team, try to keep things in perspective and context. But the ones that worry about the D, that really showed itself, particularly the Shattenkirk goal. Like, man, oh, man, I know Tampa Bay's an incredibly skilled team, but they were just cutting through and having their way far too often with the Leafs' team as a defense, but also with a defensive unit that got a little too helter-skelterish.
Yeah, I think Morgan Rielly and Cody Ceci are still a work in progress. They've certainly had some defensive zone issues. It was Rielly who got beat on the play by Shattenkirk. You know, he mentioned post-game, Morgan did, that it's a tough time of year, just getting up to speed, feeling comfortable, feeling organized. And, you know, I just get the feeling that they're still finding their way through, whether it's just within that pairing or maybe individually being you know, sharp on some of the details. But, yeah, there were some glaring errors defensively. I think it won't be very difficult for the coaching staff to find a video there of things that they don't like or that need to be improved upon. And, you know, I think it starts right with the top defenseman on the team.
All right, CJ, excellent stuff. We'll see what's in store for this team coming up on Saturday night in Detroit. Appreciate it.
All right, boys. Thank you.
Anytime. That's Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Once again, the Maple Leafs falling 7-3 to the divisional rival, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Next up, a stop in Detroit. Little Caesars Arena coming up on Saturday night. It's Nick Alberga, Gord Stellick. Leafs Nation postgame continues right here on Molson Canadian Leafs Hockey on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Leafs Nation postgame continues here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. You can find us on Twitter. Send us your thoughts on this one tonight. A tough one at that. At the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Tampa 7, Maple Leafs 3. Another loss on home ice. It's 4 or 5 games on home ice, as you all know. And next up, the Leafs take their show on the road into Detroit. Little Caesars Arena coming up on Saturday, a 2-2-1 record. It's time for the VTech call of the game. Win the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTech wake-up call. Call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize to qualify for the grand prize. Visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Puck goes free to Marner. Marner along the near boards in for Tavares. And that went off a stick and went over top of the goal. Played around back of the net. Hedman taken to the boards. Janssen, or at least Kapanen, trying to free it up. Back to the point. He does. A shot deflects. Scores! Johnny Captain Toronto! The drought is over.
Indeed it is, and that's Joe Bowen, Leafs Radio Network. Another great call right there, and I know I'm taking nothing away from Joe Pavelski. For my money, still the best tipper in hockey. The best high tipper in hockey could be John Tavares. What a finish.
Well, there. It certainly was on that goal, and, you know, great call by Joe. And you know something, Nick? That's when everything was going swimmingly for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
3 hours ago.
It was the 7:46 mark of the first period, and that gave them the 2-1 lead. They'd given Tampa Bay an early goal. And then they come back with two, and we're really on fire. And this is just what after. Even the penalties, like, you know, Jason Spezza did an unnecessary intentional offside, so the face-off went back in their own zone, and it led to a series of events that led to a power play for Tampa, and on and on and on. But this one, John Tavares, it was a long shift. And he just kept going like a dog on the bone as far as the puck went. He actually dug it out. If he had a third assist on this play, John Tavares would get the third assist. And then ultimately that high deflection like you talk about.
And that's what makes John Tavares one of the best players in this league is his ability to respond, right? I mean, these guys are going to lie and tell us they don't look at the news and the newspapers and what's going on in social media. But, I mean, there has been an ask across the, you know, the platform for that line to be a bit better. I thought for the most, you know, you want to take some positives, especially in the first period. The Tavares line is more so to what we were accustomed to seeing last year.
Yeah, and you know he takes it hard because he sleeps here at Scotiabank Arena. Oh, he saw the commercials with the mattress out there. we're going to hear from him later on, and this is, you know, a part now as captain. Last year he seemed to be the designated spokesperson quite often in games like this. Now he is the person by virtue of wearing the C. But I liked the way the puck dropped. They showed up on time. So many things going well, and that was a great goal. And Austin Matthews will score a great goal later on. But at the end of the day, all the other things just fell apart for what ends up being a real, real poor effort as far as the entire body of work goes at home.
It really is interesting, and it has been a theme with this team in the new era, if you want to call it. We know they're going to score, but defensively speaking, they have to pick up their game. And it seems like every season starts that way, doesn't it? You know, like where they really struggle defensively.
But the other thing, and Chris Johnson alluded to it, you know, Morgan Riley, Cody Ceci. It was kind of fun. Cody Ceci got a goal early. He doesn't get a lot of goals and all that. And they got off to a great start the first couple of games. But, again, the defense is viewed as a work in progress. And if that isn't happening, you're kind of losing, like Morgan Riley, who is your guy, is not your guy right now. I mean, we're not used to Morgan Riley the last couple of years. Last year, he really elevated his game to another level, and we're not used to him not being a dominant defenseman. But that's been the case the last few games as he and Cody Ceci try to figure it out.
Let's continue on here with our post game. Again, Tampa 7, Maple Leafs 3. Nick Alberga, Gord Stellick with you. First up, we're going to hear from the captain. I think you're totally right in bringing that up, that you got to face the music now that you're wearing the C, especially. And the resume speaks for itself when it comes to John Tavares, captain of the New York Islanders for a long, long time. Now he's home captaining this Maple Leafs team, and it was just a disappointing night. Overall, here's John Tavares.
Let this get away from you guys, John.
You know, we just didn't execute at a very high level, and they did, and we just didn't do the right things that are going to consistently lead to good things and lead to results. So that kind of effort tonight's not going to win us many hockey games.
These three losses in a row, any cause for concern there?
Well, you never want to lose three in a row. You know, I think the first two easily could have gone our way. Tonight, that's just not good enough. So we got to come back to work and realize the way we played tonight, just like I said, isn't good enough. We have to be a lot better, execute much more consistently, understand what's going to bring us success, and not feed into especially their type of game and their type of skill. The type of plays they can make, we just didn't do a good job of making it hard on them.
John, where does the attention, the detail, focus in terms of defensive zone play and building from there?
Yeah, I think that's where it starts, and it just takes with pride and then everyone doing their job and playing a patient game, making it difficult for them and letting our speed kind of come out of that through the neutral zone and doing a good job there and making sure the puck's going in. And we establish our forecheck and let our creativity come off of that. And eventually, after you play a team hard, eventually you start to create some more space off the rush and throughout the neutral zone and make some plays. So, you know, we have to be a lot more patient, especially against a team like that.
They expected to get a boost from getting point back. What made that top line tough to deal with tonight?
Well, you know, Kucherov had, 130 points last year, and you know, those other two guys are over 90 points. I think, you know, that speaks the type of skill set they have, and when they have time and space, the plays they can make. So we just, no question, didn't do a good enough job of limiting their opportunities and make it difficult for them.
Was it a case of making life hard on Freddie then for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, he's... Such a quality goaltender, one of the best in the world, and we just did not make it easy for him tonight against those type of shooters. We have to do a lot better job of defending. I think you know, letting seven in at home, it's just unacceptable.
And there's the headline right there. John Tavares, the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and certainly right in saying that it was unacceptable how you lose and surrender seven goals on home ice. You got to do it for your crowd too.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, this week to get tickets to Monday's game against St. Louis for their only visit and this against the Tampa Bay Lightning and to have not a clunker, but two losses. This is a clunker at the end of the day tonight. But, you know, John Tavares sticking up for Freddie. That's what you do.
Yep.
You always do. But Freddie didn't have a very good game.
No.
You know, that he was part of the whole problem why it just didn't happen tonight.
Because you can lose, you know, one way, but you could also lose the way they did tonight. Because, again, as we talked about ad nauseum on Monday, they lost the game, but they played pretty well. Mm-hmm. This one, from all accounts, a couple moments there in the first period, they stunk up the joint, right?
No, well, and then, you know, really it's the third period. Just the I don't like using the word quit because you don't want to. But boy, it just seemed like that
they
in a lot
have
of ways.
Jump, we can say.
Yeah, in the second period, Tampa Bay outplayed them. You know, like I think Mike Babcock's right that it just seemed if the bounce went their way, if they could have finished something off. So at least there was the effort there. They were no longer in control of the game. But the third, just, you know, seven goals on home ice. You know, you really have to try to come up with your best games at home if you can. And this one, for a big game and all the heightened expectations, it just, you have, everyone leaves with an empty taste by the end of it because of the third period.
And they should as well. A 7-3 win for the visiting Lightning on the road here in Toronto. The Maple Leafs winless in three now, three straight losses. They're in Detroit on Saturday night to take on the Red Wings. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. We roll on here, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Leafs Nation postgame continues here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Sadly, I'm not sure there was a high in this game from a Maple Leafs perspective. Welcome back inside a now vacant Scotiabank Arena. It's Nick Alberga joined alongside Gord Stellick. Leafs Nation postgame continues here, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailer, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Follow along via Twitter at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. A 7-3 win for the visitors, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And after one period of play, it was already 4-3 for Tampa. It seemed like we were on road to a 9-8 game. And Tampa certainly locked the door defensively, not so much for the Maple Leafs, especially in the third period. They really, really struggled. And overall, just a really, really difficult night for Frederik Andersen. Got the hook there, first time this season in the third period. Michael Hutchinson coming in. We're going to hear now from the netminder of the Maple Leafs, Frederik Andersen.
Freddie, how do you look back on a night like this, given how long you've been in this league and knowing that it's a pretty good league?
Yeah, I mean, you make mistakes out there, you got to pay for it. So, obviously, wasn't up to speed today, and, yeah, paid for it.
Is your club's confidence affected in any way when you lose three games consecutively, knowing how good this room is?
We just got to get back to playing our way, and I think we've got to flush this one and make sure we come prepared for practice tomorrow and, move forward.
your teammates were saying that they feel bad. They feel like they'll get hanging out there for a bit. How did you just feel about your night in general?
Yeah, I don't think I was without blame either. So definitely could have played some of the situation differently. But they're a good team down there too. So when, like I said, when we do make mistakes, they usually capitalize pretty often on it.
What was the penalty kill like, given the strength they've gotten, the option, obviously, of 91 on the half wall to release the way he does?
Yeah, I mean, he shoots it like very few in this league, and he has some good looks. He's a good pass out as well, and they have a good unit to move it around. So, they make it look easy sometimes, but I'm sure we can learn from this and benefit from it long term.
The always soft-spoken Frederik Andersen, not one of his better efforts. Certainly wasn't his main fault that they lost this game, but a couple I'm sure he would love to have backcourt.
Especially early on, because one of his traits, and obviously Vasilevsky, same thing, because two great goaltenders. But the big save at the right time, the thing that does not show on the stat sheet, and Freddie didn't have it tonight. And the first goal they got down 1-0, it was weird. He just couldn't get a handle on things and gave them the 1-0 lead. And then when the Leafs... are up 2-1 and looks like things are going great for them, and then the struggle happens, and that's when they could have used that big save, and then it just kind of got going, and Mike Babcock mercifully took him out in the third period, and he says you just got to learn from things and what have you. So I hope the team learns from things. I think Freddie knows all he knows. I think he just didn't have a very good game.
Yeah, you always had to remember what market we're in, and especially in Toronto, it's like the sky is falling. This team is 2-2-1 in the first five games of the season after the 7-3 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. But let's talk positives. Auston Matthews scores again, 1-1 in this game, and he just continues to dominate the National Hockey League. Doesn't matter who the opponent is. Let's hear now for number 34.
Auston, did you like the start? I mean, barring that opening goal, but at least from where you were after that in terms of competing in that opening period?
I thought the first period was good. I mean, you just can't give a team like that three opportunities on a man advantage there in the first period, because they're going to capitalize, and they obviously did, and took away some momentum from us. But I thought 5-on-5, I mean, we were good there for a while, and then they obviously had the lead there, and then in the third period it seemed like everything kind of fell apart for us.
Is three losses in a row cause for concern in this room?
No, I think it's early. I mean, obviously, we'd like to have this game back, especially that third period. I thought going into it, we felt like the game was still in reach, and we just kind of gave it away there. Just mental errors, mental mistakes. I think we just got to regroup as a team, and obviously a big game here Saturday against Detroit.
Feel
like
you're ready on a night like this?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't really too helpful for him on a lot of those goals. I mean, backdoors, tap-ins, power plays, I mean... it's not necessarily all on him. I mean, you got to be better in front of him, and just be better as a five-man unit, and be better on the penalty kill.
The attention to detail, or is it effort on the defensive end?
I think both. I mean, I thought they were really good on those 50-50 battles, those 50-50 pucks, loose pucks. It just seemed like they were coming out with, I mean, pretty much all of them. Seemed like every loose puck was kind of theirs, and they just kept coming after us wave after wave, and obviously that first line had a heck of a night. So we got to be aware, especially when those guys are out there, and because they're dangerous, and they obviously made us pay tonight.
All right, there's Auston Matthews, and that seems to be a theme around the locker room, and hearing from the head coach is echoing the sentiments of just being a lot better in general coming up on Saturday against Detroit.
Yeah, now, you know, he doesn't really have to be too much better. Six shots on goal tonight. I just love his presence. And,
yeah.
He mentions about the big line, and you've got three players on Tampa Bay getting 11 points. Steven Stamkos, a goal and three assists. Nikita Kucherov, two goals, two assists. And Braden Point, we hardly missed you. Welcome back. Two goals, one assist. And really, that's what you hope one of the Leaf lines would do. Whether it's tonight or a game like this would have been great, but also, you know, just one of those kind of games where they break out and dominate and just kick ass. And they showed glimpses of being able to do it tonight. They were matching a pretty well goal for goal in the first period, but then the Tampa Bay, that side, that excellence took over.
And not to make excuses, of course, because this is not the day and age of excuses, but certainly it was the perfect storm, I think, for the Maple Leafs going into this game to potentially drop this game. The Tampa Bay Lightning, one of the best teams in this league. We talked about it off the top on Leafs Nation pregame. that they were just not happy with the way they played against Carolina. They had 13 shots on goal, lost that game, as we know, in OT, but they had a couple days to dwell on it, and it could have been good or bad. Clearly, the first period, they were shaking some cobwebs, but it's tough to play a motivated team, and that's taking nothing away and no excuses. I'm not doing that for the Maple Leafs, but Tampa was hungry. You could tell from puck drop, especially Braden Point, who by the way, was supposed to be ready for, you know, late October, early November, and then graces us with his presence a week into this season.
Well, the last year there was no elements of turmoil. Turmoil is a bit too strong, but just no sort of
adversity.
Glimpse. Yeah, adversity in the Tampa Bay Lightning regular season. That's the word, adversity.
You're welcome.
It's one of those regular seasons for the ages. It wasn't just winning the President's Trophy. It was like up there in NHL history with how great that regular season was. So nothing ever came up. There was no crises at all. So this time, when Steven Stamkos spoke up after the last game when they lost, they were actually down 4-1 to Carolina. They ended up trying to come back. They lost 4-3. Previous game, they lost to Florida, also 4-3. And, all of a sudden, because of what happened last year in the playoffs, it was like a sense of urgency and rattling the cages. So as if you needed that, they had a lot of rest before coming here. Love playing in Toronto. Steven Stamkos always does well in Toronto, a local guy. And then getting Braden Point back. So just everything. As I said, it was the perfect storm for the Tampa Bay Lightning coming in. But early on, the Toronto Maple Leafs were able to keep up with that perfect storm. But you got to play at that level. Otherwise, that storm basically comes and is a natural disaster.
Yeah, and the fortunate thing, I think, for Toronto, A, you play Tampa three more times, and B, it's only the fifth game of the season, so you can respond as soon as Saturday night against a well-coached Detroit team so far this season who beat the Montreal Canadiens earlier tonight. We'll have the out-of-town scoreboard to wrap up the program coming up. But first and foremost, you talk about guys in the back end. This team is struggling defensively to start this year. It's been that theme the last couple of years as well. Here's a defenseman for the Maple Leafs, Morgan Rielly.
Morgan, can this club learn from its past three games in terms of defensive zone play and maybe improving from there? Is what you take from tonight or even the other two games for that matter?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, lots of video to watch and things that we can do better. You know, this time of year can be difficult sometimes, and I think that, you know, tonight's an example of a game that, you know, we got to learn from. And, you know, moving forward, it's important that we clean up certain areas of our game. And, you know, we'll make sure and do that moving forward.
When you say this time of year, is it just getting organized? And
well, I mean, I don't mean anything by it. I just mean you're getting used to new things. And you're getting used to playing again. And, I mean, you know, it's time to bear down a little more than we did tonight.
Three losses in a row, a concern in this room?
I don't think we're overly worried. Obviously, it's not what we want. I mean, we're not happy. That's not what we plan on doing moving forward. But I think you also have to be aware that it's early and, you know, there's lots of hockey left to be played. You know, we have to be much better than we were tonight. And, you know, we believe that we're capable of doing that. And we have confidence that, you know, we're going to learn from our mistakes and move forward and improve, which I think helps. But that being said, we got to be way better.
Are they effort mistakes, Morgan, or are they mental mistakes?
It's a little bit of both, I think. I mean, it's a bit fresh right now to answer that question appropriately, but I think there's probably a combination of both when you give up that many chances.
And you're thinking about lessons to take up from this game moving forward. Are you thinking about defensive zone, attention to detail?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
The man they call Mo right there, Morgan Rielly of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and has really, really struggled the last couple games defensively. But collectively, that six-man unit, Gord, has really struggled in terms of ozone entries for the opposition and keeping the big boys afloat, as we saw against St. Louis and also clearly here tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, and I like, you know, Morgan's candor, but also you can just hear frustration, which,
yeah.
You know, last year he really emerged as a leader as well, and people thought if it wasn't John Tavares, it would be Morgan Rielly that would be captain. But, yeah, and with him and Cody Ceci, it's just not working right now. And that's part of, okay, will it work? Will you figure things out? You know, because he's had pretty good pairings the last couple of years. And generally, you are a good pairing if you're paired with Morgan Rielly, no matter who the other defenseman is.
And I'll preface as well, if you're on the subway right now or driving home from this one, it's only the fifth game of the season, so step off that ledge. There's plenty more hockey to go this season, right?
Well, and you know, it's funny you say that because they did today use the tape of Paul Morris.
Yes.
The last minute of play, the legendary Maple Leaf Gardens.
I thought it was in the Gardens for a second.
Yeah, and so anyway, they used it, which was neat. I don't know how often they're going to use it or not.
Throwback Thursday is what I'm told.
Oh, is that? Okay, so yeah. For Throwback Thursday. So that would be him saying, please walk and drive safely.
Yeah.
Now, I can't do the impression. He was the most impersonated guy. There's a lot of people that can do that. So that would be basically it. As you listen to our show, please walk or drive safely.
If there's one thing you take away from tonight's broadcast, it is that right there. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. We'll tie a bow on this thing after this short break and look at the out-of-town scoreboard. This one of 11 games in the National Hockey League on this busy Thursday. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Time for a little hockey talkie. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Certainly a tough night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They fall 7-3, the final here at Scotiabank Arena. Leafs Nation postgame continues, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you here on Leafs Nation postgame. Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Gord, why don't we have a look at the out-of-town scoreboard? This one of 11 games in the NHL on this Thursday. Let's start with the games that have concluded. The St. Louis Blues coming from behind to take down the Ottawa Senators 6-4. So it seems to be a theme around the NHL, all this offense right now. Normally the case in October, isn't it?
Normally the case in October, you're right, a lot of offense. And quite often it's the case when you are in Ottawa as well. So the Senators just trying to be respectable. And you're kind of looking. The Blues were just here the other day, and it seems like they spread the scoring around. David Perron, I think, got a couple of goals.
Yeah.
But otherwise... they spread the scoring around. Ryan O'Reilly, that's his first goal of the season. He got the empty netter to wrap it up.
Meantime, PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, the magic elixir for a more defensive-minded game for Pittsburgh was the Anaheim Ducks, who will struggle this season offensively. A 2-1 win for Pittsburgh. Jake Guentzel's first of the season at 7:24, the third, the game winner. Sidney Crosby, we talked about him in the first intermission, how he probably had to grab the reins offensively like he normally does when guys are hurt. Gets 1-1 in this game, a 2-1 win for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Patrick Hornquist did play, but there was no Brian Rust, there was no Nick Bjugstad, no Malkin as well, and who's the other one I'm missing? Oh, no, Galchenyuk.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of guys out of the lineup, and you're right. It was a timely goal. Jake Guentzel, one of those great guys that came up from Wilkes-Barre a few years ago, gets the game winner in the third period.
The Edmonton Oilers still undefeated in the Ken Holland era, 4-0-0 after this shootout victory at Prudential Center in New Jersey. Taylor Hall playing his former mates again, a 4-3 win. James Neal, another goal, his seventh in the campaign. Connor McDavid actually tied it late in regulation at 18:54 on the power play from Klefbom and Nugent Hopkins. Then Leon Draisaitl, the shootout winner, and we talked, and you did as well, to Ken Holland a couple weeks back. Certainly, I think that was the biggest thing I gained from the interviews, that his team just had to stay around and get off to a good start, and that they have.
Well, and last year they were pretty good when Ken Hitchcock took over for a little bit, so they got to go a little bit more, but, you know, like over the 82 games. But, yeah, these teams that have struggled, and New Jersey's another one that you want to get off to a decent start. So at least the Devils get a point, not zero like they did in the first three games. In a game, the rarity of five number one overall picks, Nico Hischier, Taylor Hall, Jack Hughes, and then on Edmonton, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and, of course, Connor McDavid, all playing in one game.
At the Bell Center in Montreal, the back-to-back for the Habs after that crazy one against the Buffalo Sabres on Wednesday night. Detroit now 3-1-0 in the early season after a 4-2 win. Jonathan Bernier, the Quebec native, 33 saves in that one. Darren Helm scores his first. The Bertuzzi line was on fire again, his third. And Anthony Mantha would score the eventual game winner for Detroit in the second period. And that, of course, the Maple Leafs opponent in Detroit coming up on Saturday night.
Boy, the Red Wings are a team that really, I shouldn't say they're being disrespected, but they are kind of being forgotten.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about, you know, the playoffs and the Leafs expect to be there, Tampa Bay expects to be there, then other teams like New Jersey need to get to a better level if they're going to get there. the Red Wings are there right now, and really nobody had picked him at that point. So for the Maple Leafs, it's always been a great rivalry playing the Red Wings, and right now it's a Red Wing team early on that is showing the rest of the league they have playoff aspirations.
A lot still on the go right now, just a wild one it looks like in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena. It's now 5-4 for Washington there in the third period and a goal from TJ Oshie. And certainly the Predators are down 4-2 in that game, and Washington storms back now with that 5-4 goal, less than 10 remaining in the third period there. By the way, Patrick Marleau is having one of the best nights of his NHL career, I think. Makes his return to the San Jose Sharks. They're at the UC in Chicago. The Ironman streak continues. How about two goals for Patrick Marleau?
Yes, not one, but two. That's right. And his first one, he's on the power play. So they put him on the power play. They've got him on a good line. That's a big goal. 17 seconds left in the first period, so it tied it up 2-2 that way. And, yeah, it's just gone back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So it's 4-4, two of the four goals by Patrick Marleau.
In Winnipeg, the home opener for the Winnipeg Jets, and the renaissance season continues for Patrick Laine, who has a goal and two assists so far in that game. It's 4-2 for Winnipeg midway through the third period against the visiting Minnesota Wild. Calgary and Dallas, Joel Esperance has the only goal after 40. It's 1-0 for the Stars on home ice against the Calgary Flames. Nazem Kadri taking on the Boston Bruins in Denver tonight. It's 2-2 in that one. Pastrnak and Chara, McKinnon and P.E. Belmar, the goals for the Colorado Avalanche. That's a doozy one on paper. Good news to report, Arizona scored a goal. They're second of the season in game number three. They're home to the Vegas Golden Knights, and it's Connor Garland, who I'm sure you have in your pool.
Yes, sir. I'll get him tomorrow. It's you know, Boston came back down 2-0 to beat Vegas. That's a tough place to win.
Yeah.
And now in Colorado, they're up 2-0, but Colorado has tied it, as you mentioned. That's Nathan McKinnon. It's his first goal of the season there. And the other one, just Patrick Laine, he had three assists the other night as well. So this guy goes in streaks. So if he's in one of those tears, that'll be great for the Winnipeg Jets. They're just hoping that the tears last a little bit longer, because problematically he's been an incredibly streaky scorer and right now appears to be on that kind of a positive streak. And baseball-wise, we remember a few years ago the Blue Jays were doing this, but it's the Houston Astros 6-1 winners over the Tampa Bay Rays.
Got a couple minutes left, and I'm privileged to be sitting beside the man who will be hosting the last primetime sports coming up on Friday.
Looking forward to it. I know Stephen Brunt, Michael Grange will be two of the roundtable participants. And, you know, the Friday roundtable started when I was working with Damian Cox, and then Damian was kind of in limbo a bit because the Toronto Star didn't want him on radio as much. Hard to believe that, but that happened a couple of decades ago. So we did a show called The Cutting Edge on Fridays that he hosted, and we had a roundtable. And then Primetime stole it from us. They always did the Monday roundtable on their own. So looking forward to that tomorrow. What a great property, what a great show Primetime Sports has been for so many decades. So I've been proud to be associated with it. I'm looking forward to a very fun show to finish things off tomorrow.
Make sure you tune into that for sure. And also coming up on Saturday night, Leafs Nation postgame with yours truly and Gord Stelick will break it all down. The Maple Leafs 2-2-1 on this season after this 7-3 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. They'll take on the 3-1-0 Detroit Red Wings from Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. Many thanks to Andrew Holland, Vic Pilati, and Sam McKee, and to Gord Stelick. I'm Nick Alberga, and you've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers.